SF Signal, Episode 61, Science Fiction Role-Playing Games. What have you played, what do you like, and what do you hate? SF Signal. This is the SF Signal Podcast, as powered by the Functional Nerds. My name's Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And tonight, we're going to talk about role-playing games. So let's do a roll call. I thought that was funny.
Here we go.
I'm hanging up now.
Don't quit your day job.
Let's say hello to Jeff.
Hey, Jeff Patterson here. Pardon me. I blog at Gravity Lens, which can be found at baddaystudio.com.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul Weimer here. I blog at blog Jay Vistenstyle, and I've been playing role-playing games for, 25, 30 years now?
Well, you know what? Fred says that he's been playing longer. Hi, Fred.
Hi, it's Fred Kish from the Lensman's Children, and I've been playing role-playing games since 1977.
Wow.
I'm pwned.
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Derek Johnson, SF Signal Irregular. I played role-playing games from 1981 to roughly 1987 when my college money decided that, or my college fund decided, yeah, that should go to school as opposed to 20-sided dice.
So let's tell people the subject here. The topic tonight is science fiction role-playing games, not fantasy. And so when I say that, it kind of eliminates Dungeons and Dragons. I want to talk about science fiction role-playing games. What have you played? What do you like? And what do you hate? And I want to preface this by saying, you know, I grew up in Fresno, California. And Fresno sucks. And I don't care for Fresno. And it's hot and it's icky. And I don't want to go there anymore. But they had the coolest game store ever. It was called the Game Preserve. It's actually still there. If anybody wants to go to California and go to the Tower District in Fresno, it's on Olive Avenue, and it's called the Game Preserve. And they had every possible game you could imagine in that place. It was like role-playing Nirvana. My friends and I hung out there all the freaking time. And, you know, that's where we got our first dice, all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Let's start with Jeff.
Well, my girlfriend and I used to play 7 of 9 and the Klingon Pizza Boy. But aside from that, role-playing games are a much different subject. I haven't played anything.
Now I am hanging up, so.
I haven't played anything recent. My primary experience was 70s through early to mid 80s, there was a lot of Cosmic Wimp out, which was kind of fantasy, but it had a space setting and you could fly ships in the later editions. I was a big fan of Car Wars by Steve Jackson, which was you could really sci-fi up your vehicles for that game as well. And I used to love Star Frontiers, which I think got reissued not too long ago with a bunch of different aliens, and you could actually create AIs and stuff like that that were in there as well.
See, I was a dungeon master, and I know I said we weren't going to talk about Dungeons & Dragons, but I just wanted to throw out there, I was a dungeon master, but I cheated, and I would take stuff from Star Frontiers and put it in Dungeons & Dragons.
Ah.
I know people that would go from D&D, the Gamma World, to Metamorphosis Alpha to back to D&D, you know, so.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Jeff, I interrupted you.
Go ahead. Well, I did not recently, it would have been, 10 years ago, when the Meta Barons came out as a game based on the Jodorowsky comics, I played that just because I really liked that series quite a bit. And it, you know, the whole medium, it sort of, you know, lost a chunk of its charm. But still, I could see why it was, you know, why it was popular with a lot of different people.
Mm. Jeff, I've never heard of Meta Barons.
You never read Meta Barons?
Nope.
Then you should hang up and go find it.
If I hang up, the whole thing stops. It's all over.
Meta Barons was the sort of prequel to the characters from The Inkle by Mobius, the comic book by Mobius.
That clarifies everything.
Yeah, and Jodorowsky wrote that, and then he had a bunch of different artists get together, and they did an excellent space opera prequel series called The Meta Barons, which is very good.
Okay. Fred, I know you're dying to talk about this stuff.
Well, I made my saving throw, so I'm not dying. the first one I really got started with was Traveler from Game Designers Workshop, and that was a quintessential space opera setting. Decadent empire that was built upon the ashes of a previous empire, which was built upon the ashes of an even earlier empire, and so on and so forth.
So what you're telling me is they built an empire, and it sank into the swamp.
And it fell into the swamp, yes, exactly.
Yes, it did.
Did they have a flag?
They did have a flag, too, and large tracts of land across an entire galaxy. But that was a pretty early game, pretty simple mechanics, but... really took the expansions. You could be an Imperial Marine or join the Navy or join the Scouts. It had interesting mechanics in that you basically ran your whole career and you would retire and then become an adventurer. And you might end up with a ship and all sorts of other nifty stuff. So we ran adventures based on Jack Shawker's stuff, A. Bertram Chandler, all sorts of... I think I even had Rama from Arthur C. Clarke running through it at one point. Did that for a long time. One game that was both fantasy and science fiction that I loved, but it was always cursed. Whenever it got published, the publisher would dump it or go belly up, was the Tecumel world system. First appeared as Empire of the Petal Throne from TSR and then a couple other incarnations. This was set on a science fiction world that was kind of like a cross between Clark Ashton Smith and Jack Vance. It had an incredible background, probably the most detailed background I've ever seen, but it was always saddled with these second-rate publishers, unfortunately. My longest runs in gaming, and I'm not talking about board games, just role-playing, was probably through a couple games with Chaosium, especially Call of Cthulhu, which, it's horror, but, had a lot of science fiction elements, and all their games used pretty much the same system, so they also ran it. They also published a game for superheroes. They published a Future World game, and they even published Ringworld, based on Larry Niven's stuff.
Remember that.
So, it was a lot of fun out of that stuff. And, next episode we can talk about board games.
The ladies of SF Signal... didn't come on tonight, and I think it's because this is by far the nerdiest podcast we've ever done.
Oh well,
Paul.
Yep. I was going to mention Traveler for all the reasons Fred said. Excellent, wide open sandbox. Tecumel. I hadn't thought of that as science fiction, but Fred's right. It was a science fiction world that slips sort of into magic.
Of Arthur C. Clarke. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yep.
A lot of the magic items in there were just old items from before the fall that, still worked.
Yep, 50,000-year-old ray guns and stuff. Yep.
Right.
A few others that Fred didn't mention. I've always had a fondness for Gamma World. I haven't played the reboot, but the old one was just a very fun gonzo after the fall premise. It was really soft science fiction in that it made no mutations and other stuff made no sense, but it was always fun to run that. I did more running than playing. Other ones, Fading Suns, for similar reasons to Traveler, another kind of falling apart empire. It had a little bit of magic to it, but lots of court intrigue, alien races nibbling at the edges, humanity trying to hold on before a dark age. Good stuff. Paranoia mm-hmm. is lots of fun, especially because,
what do you mean by that?
The Paranoia, the role-playing game, Patrick, where you were survivors in a giant underground complex after the bomb, and the computer is your friend, and the computer runs everything, and the computer is absolutely mad.
And you're a mutant.
That's treason.
And the computer hates mutants.
And you're in a secret society, and the computer hates secret societies.
And is it time for me to go to Carousel?
Not quite.
There is actually a renaissance in science fiction role-playing games recently. There's been a few that have come out that look interesting. Diaspora, which the creators have said is basically based on Traveller. The players and the GM build a little collection of worlds, and you basically run your adventures based on those worlds. I'm dying to play that with my indie gamers group, and I think we will, and I'm willing to run it. There's Ashen Stars, which is basically space cops for hire in a 10 years after a bad war has blown the heck out of the Galactic Empire sort of setting. That looks really, really interesting from Pelgrane Press. And Bulldogs, which is you get to sign up for 5 years on a spaceship to get off the crummy ball of rock you live on and, well, find out that the rest of the universe is all crummy balls of rock.
Five-year mission, huh?
Five-year mission.
Do they issue a red shirt?
I think, well, actually, if you pre-ordered the game, you actually could get a uniform. So, yes. As far as games I didn't like, I've always thought the Star Wars needed a better system than D20. I don't think the mechanics actually support the Star Wars playing game as much as it really needs the love. Someone really needs to do a Star Wars game right. The D20 version that I've seen doesn't cut the mustard.
Derek.
Well, most of them have already been mentioned. I guess Traveller seems to be sort of a rite of passage for anybody who's interested in science fiction role-playing games. It was the rules were fairly simple. They were fairly accessible. You could adapt them to almost any sort of world building that you felt you wanted. I guess I started with that, and then I dabbled with Star Frontiers. Played a few others. There was a superhero game called Villains and Vigilantes, which was a lot of it was fun. A couple of others that I, the problem is that, and I'm sure we all had this, we played so many different types of games. We tried so many different gaming systems that most of it has just become a blur. Having said that, probably with the exception of Paranoia, none of them really appealed to me very much. The systems were, sometimes fairly easy, sometimes they were needlessly complex. But I never really liked half of the worlds that they set up. I found in some cases they were too restrictive, and in some cases they just didn't have enough detail. Paranoia just suited my own sensibilities at the time, because I was reading tons of Philip K. Dick, tons of Kurt Vonnegut, splashing a bunch of other absurdist writers, and that was just nirvana as far as I was concerned.
I'm surprised no one has mentioned the Star Trek role playing game.
I played that also, and it just kind of left me wanting.
Fred, what did you think of Star Trek?
Well, that was kind of going to be my flip side of things that I didn't think worked as well. Was that, Doctor Who, Star Trek, the James Bond role-playing game, and a couple others that were based on, let's call them franchises.
Yeah.
You kind of felt restricted, I think, more than any other game. I mean, the best I did with the Star Trek role-playing game was it wasn't the Enterprise. It was a little tiny ship off in the backwards end of the Federation, and maybe I was doing Deep Space Nine before Deep Space Nine existed. I don't know, but I just felt that franchises, everybody wanted to be James Bond or Doctor Who,
right,
or Kirk, and it just never worked out that well.
My problem with the Star Trek role-playing game was the complexity of it. There was, to have your ships fight, to run your ships, I mean, there was a lot of complexity to it.
A lot of subsystems, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a pain. What about, anybody play Robotech?
played Robotech, and once, you know, it's been so long that I don't remember much of it. I remember the rules just seemed needlessly complex.
Yeah, it was another very complex piece.
You know, and somebody brought up the James Bond role-playing game. That was another, it sort of was interesting, but forget just wanting to play James Bond. It just wasn't very exciting. You know, just reading the game modules was actually far more fascinating than actually playing them.
Ah, 007463. Welcome to Q's Lair.
I'm giving you a Honda Accord because, you know, that asshat 007 took all the Aston Martins.
What happened to Warhammer?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. 40K.
That's after my time.
Never really cottoned to it.
Yeah? I mean, how come?
I read the books, but that's about it.
Yeah, same with me.
I'm not really big on the military science fiction role-playing. I mean, when I played Traveler, I wound up as a Marine, but I was mostly a quasi-pacifist Marine. That's okay. Because I got crappy roles.
I was going to say, is that like you were chaotic good? I mean...
No, chaotic stupid.
Oh, God. So then you probably never got into MechWarrior either.
Nope, not me.
Anybody else?
A couple times. Yeah. Never cared for it.
Again, yeah, it felt a little bit more complicated. What about StarCraft? No?
No. StarCraft, I only played the computer game.
There was also a pen and paper.
Right.
Yeah, I remember, but...
All right, well, I was just curious. So everybody kind of gave the things that I thought you would give. Now, let's just explain for a little bit for our listeners. Fred, what is a game system?
Well, a game system is the set of rules that tell you how to run a made-up character in a made-up world. The system tells you, for example, how to fight or succeed in learning something or any sort of task. I mean, it could just be like Call of Cthulhu had a library use mechanic, because the big basis of those adventures was learning obscure facts, and you had to be able to find the right book or go to the city hall and find the plans for the old mansion or whatever. So a game system is the set of rules that help you govern the game.
And then a player, Paul, would use their dice and their pen and paper. Unless they're using a diceless game.
And their imagination to basically maneuver their character through the world that's set up by the game master, who runs just about everything the players don't. Non-player characters, the furniture, the world.
They set up the story, and they guide you through the story.
They set up, well, that's the point of argument. Depends on what kind of game, whether or not you're saying the players and the GM together create the story, or whether the GM's creating a story that the players inhabit. You can get into really big arguments about that in certain forums.
It should only ever be the game master or the dungeon master ruling over his pitiful, puny little players.
And in the case of Paranoia, that's exactly what happened, usually.
Yes. With glee, I ruled over the pitiful players.
Now that and like I said, for folks, you know, this is where the dice come in. You're using your imagination. You're in this world, and you're actually playing this character. You're creating a character. And now the interesting thing is, a lot of writers played role playing games.
Oh,
and
yes,
this is where it helped them to develop characters, to develop stories, to develop that hook, you know, that keeps you coming back to turn the page. Jeff, do you know any authers off the top of your head who were role playing games?
I can tell you.
George R. R. Martin used to run a superheroes game.
Yeah.
And he was spending so much time at it that he wasn't writing. Then he realized, hey, you know, we've got all these superhero characters being written by my fellow writers. What if we did a shared world anthology? And how many years later, we still have wild cards going.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget that Stina Light just wrote a blog post on SF Signal.
Mm-hmm. She did?
About the influence of role-playing games on her own writing.
Yep. That was kind of where I was leading with this.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
And she's not wrong. I mean, I spent a lot of time playing role-playing games, and that's where I kind of learned about building characters and having fun with them and, you know, doing the dialogue and building a backstory, all that kind of stuff.
Well, my oldest stepson runs two Dungeons & Dragons campaigns, one on Friday evening, one on Sunday afternoons, has two different sets of players for each session, has so many people at one time that he actually held tryouts. Part of it was because, you know, he'd have upwards of 10 to 15 players come to the house, and it turns out a lot of them just wanted to hang out and drink free sodas. So he decided to put a stop to that. But, you know, what it has taught him is management skills. It's taught him storytelling skills. It's taught him a great deal about organization. It's taught him a great deal about reading maps. That's one of the reasons I played. One of the reasons I enjoyed being a DM was that I got to create the world down to the, you know, down to the last splinter in the chairs, you know, and that meant I got to be a cartographer as well.
Very cool. Yeah. So, did everybody chime in on something that they liked, and that everybody chimed in on something that they didn't like? Was there any final thoughts? Let's go around and talk to Paul.
As you were saying earlier, I believe that role playing games, including science fiction ones, are valuable tools in learning to write and learning to read certain authors. And I can't imagine my life without playing science fiction or any other kind of role playing game, for that matter.
Mm. Derek.
Pretty much going to go with what Paul said, actually. Games actually shaped, for better or for worse, a great deal of my own personality. It shaped a lot of my interest. I probably would not be the geek I am today without having them be sort of my, the gateway drug for a lot of fantasy and science fiction, for that matter.
They were your source code.
And that brings us to Jeff.
Well, one game that I did want to mention that I never particularly cared for was one from the 80s called Space 1889. It was a steampunk game.
I knew that one, yeah.
And I really thought it was a dismal, boring game, but 20 years later I find the audiobooks. And I listened to them, and the audiobooks were wonderful.
Interesting.
I was like, yeah, it was only because I was familiar with the universe that I listened to them, and I thought they were spectacular, and said, you know, if only the game had been this good.
Oh, I love that game.
Well, Fred, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I would promote science fiction role-playing, because unlike fantasy role-playing, you don't have to sell your soul to the devil in order to play them.
Here's my final thoughts on the whole thing. You know, to the folks listening to this, there are so many different role playing games out there, and chances are, if you want to play a certain kind of character or be in a certain kind of world, there's a game out there for you, and there's probably a little shop somewhere in your town that is full of these games, just like out in Fresno, where they have the game preserve. There's got to be some place in your town or nearby where you can go out and you can get these games, and, you know, put a group together and have some fun, because it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of people now who they don't even have to get together in person. You know, I know Karen Burnham runs a game on Skype. So there's lots of opportunities for you. There's software out there now you can install, and you can have forums. You can even run a game. There's specific software for like Dungeons & Dragons Online that you can be modified. It'll do the roles for you, so everybody can see the roles. I mean, everything. There's all kinds of ways to get together and play these games, and so I strongly encourage you to go out and do that.
Amen, Patrick.
There you go.
And we should also put in a plug for a certain column on SF Signal about role-playing games.
Who's writing that? Is that Fabio's new piece?
No, that's my column, Patrick. Roll perception.
Oh. Yeah, I may have read that once or twice. It's a good column. I also like the video that you linked to, of the little documentary.
Oh yeah, and that just shows how much work it is for a game master, but how much fun a game master and his players can have when they're really jazzed up.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's for everybody. So, you know, just go out there, get yourself a book. If you want to start with Dungeons and Dragons, you can do that. They've got a beginner's guide. I've got several versions of it somewhere. You know, if you want to go with something else like Star Frontiers or something like that, you know, more power to you. There's tons of things out there. You can find something that will appeal to you. And I think that's it for us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This summer, SF Signal is joining forces with Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing and Merle Lafferty's I Should Be Writing to bring a unique trivia contest / giveaway to our podcast listeners. Sponsored by Pyre, we have 12 books to give away to 6 winners who will be selected at random from eligible entries. Some of the prizes include The Buntline Special by Mike Resnick, Sasha by Joel Shepard, The Strange Affair of Spring Hill Jack by Mark Hoder, Diving the Wreck and City of Ruins by Christine Catherine Risch, and The Falling Machine, The Society of Steam Book 1 by Andrew P. Mayer, to name just a few. Are you ready for our trivia question? This is it. This is our little submission to this contest. Here's our trivia question, so you're going to need to answer this one. Here goes. Which science fiction author is credited with writing Green Lantern's Oath? The Oath, as you should all know, goes like this. In brightest day and blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light. Again, which science fiction author is credited with writing Green Lantern's Oath? The rules. All you have to do is listen to this podcast and Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing and I Should Be Writing. And when you hear a trivia question, like the one I just gave you, you need to answer it and then collect all the answers. So you got 3 podcasts, 3 questions. Collect the answers and submit them to adventuresinscifipublishing@gmail.com. And you have until midnight on Friday, July 22nd to get that in. When you send in your answers, please include your name, your address, and your phone number along with your answers. And the reason for that, essentially, Sean needs the phone number just in case there's some sort of technical difficulty with your email address or your address or anything like that. So please include all that information, name, address, and phone number with your answers. Some of the rules. Due to copyright restrictions, this contest is only open to residents of North America. Winners will be selected by blind drawing and notified by email before subsequent announcements on this podcast and the other podcast. So we're going to tell you who won. Visit adventuresinscifipublishing.com and ishouldbewriting.com to find their episodes with their trivia questions, okay? Honestly, the easiest way to make sure you don't miss it is just to go and subscribe to the podcasts. Subscribe to those podcasts, and then you'll get the episodes downloaded, and as you're listening to them and you hear the trivia questions, then you'll be able to do your answers. Only one entry per person, and I think that's pretty much it for the rules. So, listen to I Should Be Writing, listen to Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, and obviously listen to SF Signal, and get those trivia answers and submit them to Sean over at Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. So there you go. If you enjoyed this podcast, we appreciate that. There's a couple things you can do for us. Number one, tell some friends. You know, tell people that you're liking this podcast, you're digging it, and that they should be listening to it too. Number two, you can go to iTunes. And on our iTunes page, give us a couple stars, write us a review. That helps. Also, if you subscribe via iTunes, that helps us because that might get us on like the featured page or something like that. You know, might kind of boost our signal within iTunes. Not absolutely necessary, but you know, it's nice to do. You can also call and tell us about the science fiction role playing games that you've enjoyed. And you can do that a couple different ways. You can give us a call on the voicemail line, 720-277-9082. And You got 3 minutes when you call that. If you don't want to call, if you prefer, you can just go to the post, fill out the little Google widget, and Google will call you. Still got 3 minutes. You can also leave us a comment on the post. We have, like I said, a couple different ways you can do that. So we just want to hear back from you, you know, about the science fiction role-playing games that you've enjoyed. Let's see. Later on this week, we've got an interview with Laura Resnick. So that'll be on Thursday. You need to come back and check that out. During the week, you can follow John D. on Twitter, twitter.com/sfsignal. And he tweets all kinds of good stuff, including links to the content on SF Signal, because we've got loads and loads of content on sfsignal.com throughout the week, including mind melds, videos, the columns from our regulars, you name it, it's on there, you know, tidbits, tons and tons of content. So go check that out, and, you know, just follow John D. So if you're looking for me online, I appreciate that. I am twitter.com/ATFMB, which is all things from my brain. I blog occasionally at SF Signal. I also blog at my own website, atfmb.com, and I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/ATFMB. Listen to the Functional Nerds podcast, too. That's our sister cast over there, and we always have a good interview going. This week, I believe it's going to be Sandra Wickham, so you might want to check that out. I think that's it for me. I am out of here. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys on Thursday. Bye.